have a pair of articles for you this morning, both about Medicare for All. Most of our favorite Democrats, progressive or not, are dragging their heels on actually getting the job done with Medicare for All. And the right-wing Republicans and the no less right-wing Democrats who drag their feet are often asking the age-old question, how are you going to pay for that? So the second article will address that issue. So let's dive in. Here's the first article. It's time for an honest conversation about Democrats and healthcare by Lauren Martinchek. How much longer can we tolerate profits over people? For me personally, Medicare for All and universal healthcare coverage is the single most important policy position. There's no denying the fact that the coronavirus pandemic has exposed the cruelty beneath the facade of a healthcare system motivated by profit in a manner this country was entirely ill-equipped to handle. As tens of millions of people stand on the precipice of losing their health insurance if they haven't already after losing their jobs, these past 5 months alone have been case in point as to not only the brutality, but the bizarre, unsustainable nature of a system in which whether or not one can go to the hospital or see a particular doctor is dependent upon if you have a job. Unfortunately, in a government where all it takes is a campaign donation from an insurance industry lobbyist in order to prompt Democratic politicians to come out against Medicare for All, it should come as no surprise that presumptive Democratic nominee, Joe Biden, is against it. But Joe Biden's recent actions have forced me to conclude that once again, it's time to have an honest conversation about the Democratic Party and healthcare. At a time when 70% of the country is in favor of Medicare for All, Joe Biden said he would veto the legislation if it ever crossed his desk. Even now, after a pandemic has hit, he remains unwavering in his position. As if that wasn't infuriating enough, Joe Biden has recently begun walking back his campaign promises to fight for a public option instead as well. Peter Sullivan with The Hill writes, "Once the arena shifts away from the campaign trail to Congress, where the proposal would have to pass by a narrow margin in the Senate, and despite fierce opposition from well-funded industry groups, Biden's plan would become a daunting challenge to enact." Surveying this landscape, some Democratic congressional aides and outside healthcare advisors, who spoke on the condition of anonymity, said they expected the party would start next year with a more modest package of fixes to Obamacare that did not include a public option in an effort to get some early points on the board. Occasionally, as I've mentioned before, my writing is more of an outlet for my frustration than it is constructive. This is shaping up to be one of those times. At this unprecedented and traumatic period in American history, I cannot stress enough the importance of coming to terms with the significance of this brutal, inhumane message. If Joe Biden wins, Democrats will have undoubtedly increased their majority in the House and perhaps even come close to taking the Senate. They will have control over two branches of government and significant leverage in the other. But fighting for something as mundane, basic, and moderate as a public option in the middle of a pandemic that has left tens of millions of people without health care has already been written off as too much work. For years, we have been told that Republicans are the reason we cannot have Medicare for All. For years, we have been told that they are all that stands in the way of not just health care reform, but virtually all other meaningful change. In the history of modern politics, this will certainly go down as one of the most widespread, bold-faced lies of all time. Until we are brutally honest about the reality of the situation at hand, nothing will change. Recently, someone responded to one of my tweets asking why people on the left, like me, treat Joe Biden and Democrats like enemies. At a moment in time when 170,000 people have died alone, drowning in their fluids, and tens of millions of people cannot go to the doctor or hospital during a pandemic because they lost their insurance, Democrats have offered them absolutely nothing. I responded that I treat them like an enemy because that is exactly what they are. As abhorrent as Republican lawmakers might be, let it be known that Democrats are all too willing to allow you to die at the hands of a profit-motivated system responsible for tens of thousands of deaths each year, even before this pandemic hit, all in the name of keeping the health insurance industry around for a few more years so they can continue to line their pockets with their donations. And the thing that really, really gets me is that there will probably be a laundry list of people more angry at me for pointing this out than they are at those actively fighting for the preservation of this deadly, inhumane system. As many might have already seen, Joe Biden has begun to slip in the polls, not only nationally, but even further in battleground states as well. I'm sure if he blows this election, like I won't be surprised if he does, it will be the Bernie Sanders supporters on Twitter with their purity tests, rat and snake emojis, to blame. I'm sure it will be Breonna Joy Gray, David Sirota, Ryan Knight, and left Twitter in general who will be pointed at, as opposed to Joe Biden and his corrupt to the core, sorry excuse of a campaign that offered absolutely nothing. I do not want Trump to win, but at this rate, Mr. Biden absolutely deserves to lose. And here is a Truth Out article, but how will we pay for it? Modern Monetary Theory and Democratic Socialism. This is by Alexander Kolokotronis and Sean Keith. This photo is an overpass light brigade protest in support of Medicare for All in Madison, Wisconsin, July 18, 2017. Medicare for All has quickly become a principal rallying cry for many progressives and leftists alike. Organizations ranging from Our Revolution, National Nurses United, and certain branches of Democratic Socialists of America, DSA, have done much of the day-to-day work to bring single-payer healthcare to the forefront of political debate. Their efforts have pushed Medicare for All to the floors of the United States Senate and House. Currently, there are 16 senators and 120 congresspeople co-sponsoring Representative John Conyers' Expanded and Improved Medicare for All Act. With greater congressional backing of Conyers' bill and the grassroots surge in Democratic Socialist politics, questions have moved from the desirability to the viability of programs like Medicare for All. Partisans and opponents of social democracy alike are wondering, single-payer healthcare sounds great, but how can we pay for it? How can we pay for any universalistic program without going bankrupt? If democratic socialists see social democracy as one of the key stepping stones towards a truly egalitarian society, the issue of how we can sustainably finance such programs is of the utmost importance. An economic doctrine named Modern Monetary Theory, MMT, is surging in popularity and offering answers. MMT is debunking popular narratives about the harsh necessity of austerity and belt tightening. It is showing that money is not a finite abstraction, but a limitless public utility that can be used to meet human needs. More than this, however, MMT and its heterodox economic cousins offer a framework to build directly democratic, egalitarian political structures, and thus reimagine and recalibrate the viability of democratic socialism. What is MMT? Understanding Neo-Chartalism. One of the theoretical forerunners and bases of MMT is Chartalism, an economic theory which argues that money is a creature of the state designed to direct economic activity. The theory has recently been popularized by David Graeber's book, Debt, the First 5,000 Years, a wide-ranging work that touches upon issues ranging from gift economies, the linkage between quantification and violence, and the relationship between debt and conceptions of sin. In charting out the history of money, Graeber notes that, despite anthropological evidence to the contrary, economists have long clung to the myth of barter. I gotta stop there and say, I've gotta read that book, especially when they're comparing the idea of debt to the idea of sin. All right, back to the story. However, money does not emerge from barter-based economic activities, but rather from the sovereign's desire to organize economic activity. The state issues currency and then imposes taxes. Because citizens are forced to use the state's currency to pay their taxes, they can trust that the currency will carry value in day-to-day economic activities. Governments with their own currency and a floating exchange rate, sovereign currency issuers like the United States, do not have to borrow from bond vigilantes to spend. They themselves first spend the money into existence and then collect it through taxation to enforce its usage. The state can spend unlimited amounts of money. It is only constrained by biophysical resources, and if the state spends beyond the availability of resources, the result is inflation, which can be mitigated by taxation. These simple facts carry radical policy implications. Taxes are not being used to fund spending. Taxes are not being used to fund spending, but rather to control inflation and redistribute income. And Trump's tax plan is certainly continuing the redistribution of income upward. Thus, we can make the case for progressive taxation from a moral standpoint concerned with social justice. We should tax rich people because their wealth is the product of exploitation and an affront to any truly democratic society, not because our transitional political program depends upon it. Congress can simply authorize the Treasury and the Federal Reserve to spend the money necessary for single-payer health care. If we apply MMT to Medicare for All, the aforementioned viability debate and ungrounded fears about printing money fades into the background. Rather, our concerns shift toward examining our available resources and thinking about how best to provision them in such a way as to advance social justice. This means training doctors, nurses, and other medical practitioners, and it also means medical facilities being supplied with the necessary instruments, tools, and technologies to provide care and treatment to patients and their communities. This carries implications for policymaking beyond Medicare for All. If money belongs to the public, then questions about who and what the public is will arise. By extension, money, financing, and investment should be subject to popular control through directly democratic participatory processes. To operationalize policies, however, requires further insights from heterodox thinkers close to MMT, like lawyer Adolf Burrell and economists Gardner Means and Alfred Eichner. And now, as much as I'd really like to deep dive into this because I'm an MMT geek, I'm not going to do it now. The points I'll leave you with today are: the Democrats are at least as bad as the Republicans when it comes to not giving us Medicare for All. And the other point is that even though both Democrats and Republicans know that we could easily pay for Medicare for All, they don't want us to have it. And the reason they don't want us to have it is that it would become so much easier for the workforce to organize and strike and push around the owners of society. Uncoupling health coverage from your job allows you to say, well, I don't really need this job. As long as I have my health insurance, I can weather the storm. I'm going to go on strike. That is why they don't want us to have Medicare for All. And that is why we absolutely must achieve Medicare for All and protest and strike and do whatever we need to until we get it. I doubtless will bring you more articles about MMT in the future. Maybe even I'll come back to this one. But for right now, let's keep smacking people around until they understand that we absolutely can pay for it, and the asshole Democrats, as well as the asshole Republicans, are standing in the way because they want to keep us under their thumbs.